This is Ottawa at Work with Patricia Bowl.
Here's a breakaway chance, busting in Giroux, backhand forehand, scores! The overtime winner from Claude Giroux!
Well, if you stayed up for that one last night, perhaps you didn't hear any of Bill Carroll this morning. Maybe you're just getting up now. Joining us for Ottawa at Work, good Monday morning. That was a big sports day yesterday, but that was tough if you're getting up early and having a couple of drinks with Canada-Croatia and then staying up to watch the Senators in L.A. last night. And of course, as you heard, if you hadn't heard already, it did go into overtime. Got it done quickly in overtime, though. Claude Giroux almost right away. Beautiful goal. Looked like they were going to maybe mess it up in their own end. Scored a beauty. So the Sens have now won two in a row. DJ Smith probably safe another day. Chris Holzke, you were off last week. You were staying up late every night, but you're back in the routine today. I know you're a Habs fan anyway, but could not quite.
No, I wasn't going to stay up
for the midnight
game.
Oil, but right before your first day, right?
Like, honestly, I was staying up until roughly about like 12:30 in the morning or 1 o'clock in the morning. By the end of my vacation, my body clock is just completely the opposite from the hours that I've worked for the last 5 years. Actually, for most of my adult life.
And honestly, you look very well rested.
I'm not quite awake yet, I think. I need a second cup of coffee. Even after waking up first thing at 3:30 today, I get up and I think I have half a bottle of like Dr. Pepper sitting in the fridge right now, and that seems pretty good.
Some people try to ease back into it right on the Monday after vacation. When you're a morning show person, there's no easing anywhere. That 3:30 alarm hurts. Dr. Pepper, no.
No, it's just like, it's like you lose essentially what you got back during the course of that week. But I'll be fine by hopefully Wednesday or Thursday.
Call the doctor. Dr. Pepper, what do you got? 9:08 on News Talk 580 CFRA. Time now for our Big Five.
Ottawa at Work. Big Five Stories.
Chris Holzke is back and John Krupe just sticking around. Still here. John, how are you?
Good morning. Yes. And Davis Cup. I just want to bring that up.
Yes, underreported sports story from yesterday, the fact that we won a major title in tennis.
Very exciting.
First time
I did
in
not see any
years.
Of it. Yeah. We'll talk about that a little bit later, break that down, but I get in trouble when I talk about tennis too much, so let me check the inbox and see if anything's coming here. But we do want to talk, this is not a sports show, but we do want to talk a little bit of sports because it was a huge day yesterday. Everyone off, of course, on a Sunday, an 11 o'clock game at the World Cup, and Canada in that position where if they had won this, even were able to come up with a draw, that they might have been able to stick around and see what happened against Morocco on Thursday. But they're gone. A loss to Croatia yesterday, but a momentous moment for sure. I'm not sure if we have that that first goal by Canada. We'll play it for you a little bit later if we don't. But the first ever goal by Canada at a World Cup, and it goes to Alphonso Davies. It was all looking beautiful right there. Like, you feel like a 1-0 lead in soccer. There's a pretty good chance that these guys are going to come away successful, certainly after the way they played against Belgium. But no. Were you both watching this, or did you have to clean the garage, or what was happening yesterday at 11 o'clock for both of you?
Here's the funny thing. So I'm running late trying to get to the game at 11 o'clock, and I'm thinking, oh, it's okay. What am I going to miss within like the first 3 or 4 minutes of the game? And I ended up missing the goal completely. And then watched the rest of the game as Canada got transformed. You know, maybe this was my fault, right? Because they scored while I wasn't watching. Then they were soundly outplayed for the rest of the game while I was watching.
It's one of our faults, for sure. I did almost exactly the same thing. Here's what you missed, Chris Holzke.
Buchanan with the cross in towards Alphonso Davies! He missed the penalty in the opener. He makes amends today. Canada's history-making moment delivered by their biggest superstar. A goal the country has been dreaming about for decades finally arrives.
I do love that it goes to Alphonso Davies, who had to be feeling the weight of the world after missing the penalty kick in the opener. And I love that his name is the one that's penciled in to the history books, but all downhill from there. And like you, Chris Holzke, I took a chance. I had a very busy day. I had to drive my daughter to Kingston. I had a lot going on later in the day. If I don't get to the gym early, I won't get it done. and I had a few things to do before the gym, so I did a 10:15 yoga class thinking I'll get back and I'll have missed maybe 5 minutes. I'll just be right. And I heard the goal in the car.
Oh, we ended
on TSN 1200.
So we both missed the first goal by Canada at the Men's World Cup. Like, yeah. John, you got to save us.
You watched it, right,
we
John?
Are we really satisfied with just the one goal?
Did you watch it, John?
Yes, I did.
All right. Yeah.
Did we really dream about this goal for decades?
I didn't even know that Canada had not scored in 1986 until I think the opener of this tournament, when suddenly that was a thing and talking about, oh, they haven't even scored a goal. I mean, 86. No one cared about soccer then.
Like the morning game this morning was 3-3, six goals.
Yep.
I'm hoping for better against Morocco. I know we're out of it, but... you know, we'll get Croatia back in hockey. Don't worry.
It would have been an awful feeling if they'd gone away from this without at least having
a goal,
having that moment, and having watched a lot of Sens playoff games where, you know, your team plays really well but just cannot drum up any offense and gets shut out. You never get that chance to just celebrate for a moment, release all that tension, and just, you know.
I love
get
soccer
into it,
how
so.
They put everything on a pedestal. The greatest moment in Canadian soccer history. Oops. Canadian men's
soccer.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people checking themselves on that. Yeah, this is not quite a gold medal game.
It was great seeing some of the reactions that Jackie Paris picked up at the Great Glebe pub, for example. And there's this one guy, I actually want to give him a shout out, Eddie, because I declare.
Hey, Eddie.
Yeah, after seeing the vision, there's this one guy, apparently he's very visible at Atletico games as well, who just lets out this primal. Ah!
All right.
Right? And so,
off the mic, just so you know.
Yeah, so on social media, like I declare, this man is the champion. This fan is the champion of Ottawa today. And in my reply, somebody identified him, and he responded. He actually gave credit to the entire pub, but that was a next level celebration. It's great to see that kind of dedication towards Team Canada, and hopefully, we will see that again this Thursday. They do have a chance still to win their first game at the Men's World Cup ever. I think the team would prefer that there's not like a mass walk away from the team because they can't advance at this point, which maybe that's your sense typically at a tournament, even when we're playing hockey and the team is playing for bronze. Just getting one win is a big deal. And if they do it, it means that we don't have to wait 4 years again, or at least 4 years, asking the question of can they win? Hopefully they get this done on Thursday.
I mean, I will still watch because what else would I be doing Thursday morning? Oh, wait, I'm in here. But we're going to talk to some kids who are getting a buyout from class to watch that. Of course, they hope that would be a different game, that it would be a win and they're in and they're moving on in this historical moment for Canada. But I think a lot of people will still be pumped and wanting to support them. And of course, a win would just be huge and give a different feeling to this team that, you know, knows they're going to be around for this, the next World Cup, when all of North America is hosting the World Cup. So I think people will still be excited on Thursday. Maybe not John Krupe, so cynical about that first goal.
I'm not cynical. I just, just a little practical, that's all.
Yeah, just a goal. So then in our group chat on soccer, as soon as this loss happened, people started making snarky comments, but well, at least we got the Sens, or we've seen this before. But then at least the Sens delivered something last night, so, you know. Sports fans.
Did they ever? I watched. They played fantastic hockey last night.
It was a good game.
That was probably the best game I've seen the Sens play.
I'm going to give you John Rodenberg's analysis on our brother station TSN 1200. He said this morning, sometimes those games where you don't play well and you lose, or sometimes you don't play well and you win. Sometimes you play well and you lose. But that game, they played well and they won. I thought that was a beautiful breakdown. John Rodenberg,
TSN 1200. Simmer laughed at him for that analysis. But anyway.
Were you listening to?
Yes.
Well, who's listening to Bill? Chris Holsky, were you listening to Bill this morning?
You call a switch around.
You're paid to be in here. 9:15 on News Talk 580 CFRI. I was listening to Bill as well, and Bill was talking to Riley Brockington about the Mooney's Bay Hill. We're going to talk about that next as we switch gears here. That tragic accident last winter. The response is now to close down the hill to tobogganing. A lot of people don't like this. They think it's an easy out, a cop out. Instead of making the hill safe and keeping it open to kids to enjoy this winter season, they want to just close it down completely. We want to get your take on that coming up. This is The Big Five. You're listening to Ottawa at Work. I'm Patricia Bolt.
Ottawa at Work. Big Five stories.
People have been tobogganing, snowshoeing, cross-country skiing, all types of winter activities here in the park for decades. And so there are inherent issues with tobogganing. The overwhelming response by the public. Both when the tragic accident happened last December, and more recently with the news on Friday, late Friday afternoon, that this is the direction the city's going in, was opposed to plans to cordon off or fence off the hill.
So, yes, this news came down late last week that Mooney's Bay, the tobogganing hill there, will be fenced off to prevent kids from tobogganing rather than make efforts to make the hill safer. It comes after an 11-year-old girl died in a tobogganing accident on that hill last winter. It's a tough one because this is obviously it was a tragic and heartbreaking situation with this young girl. You never, ever, ever want to see something like that happen when kids and families are out enjoying recreation in the city. At the same time, this is a hill that has been used for years by all kinds of families in that area. I always say when, you know, I'm biking home through there, through Mooney's Bay, I'm amazed at how much use that park gets. There's a lot of apartment buildings right across the way. A lot of people are out using it in all different capacities, in all different seasons, having grown up near there. Tobogganed on that hill. My whole childhood was one of our favorite places to go. It was a pretty steep hill. So there are a lot of concerns around the safety, but some people suggesting this is a bit of a cop-out by the city, playing it safe, perhaps wanting to make sure they are not in any kind of a lawsuit position rather than trying to attempt ways to make this hill what it could be for families in the area. Chris Holske, I know you were also involved when we were covering this last winter, the story of this fatal accident. It was a heartbreaker.
Yeah, and the last story, the last words of, according to her family, from about, it's tough to talk about, sorry, 11-year-old Jose, telling her brother that she didn't want to die before her passing. It's brutal, horrible tragedy that happened a year ago. That said, this is absolutely the wrong decision by staff to suggest that this hill should be closed off permanently. Because I want to think about other examples, just starting with winter sport to begin with. If someone is killed while skiing, for example, does an entire resort shut down? No. If somebody were to fall on the Rideau Canal, hurt their head, sadly pass away, would they close the Rideau Canal forever? No. I think the answer lying ahead for something like this with a sledding hill is the all-or-nothing approach is something that needs to be taken away. Perhaps something, if they're looking for a level of compromise, a grading system, for example, about how safe the hill may be at a certain time. Because I'm not going to say that hill is safe all the time. If there's like a freeze-thaw and the entire thing turns to ice, then maybe kids shouldn't be taking sled runs on it. That is not necessarily played a factor in Jose's death. I want to point that out. I want to clarify that. There was a post that was actually left in by city staff, and Riley Brockington is mad that there's no acceptance of any responsibility from the city. But aside from that, less than a minute walk away from Mooney's Bay, you have the beach in the summer, where there is a grading system that is active. It does take an effort to run it simply for the amount of bacteria that may be in the water at that time, where they have a different color-coded system, where they say that swimming is not recommended or it's closed or whatever ruling Ottawa Public Health makes on this one. Why can there not be something similar like that set up at that hill? Mm. Because if you are going to go this far to try to set up a level of fencing, or maybe it can play a role in that hill sometime in the future if conditions are no longer considered to be deemed safe, but you got to check it. You can't just try to take it away from people who have been using that hill without incident for decades.
John Krupe, what are your thoughts on this?
The city is in a no-win position here. They close it, they're going to get the feedback because it's been, it would open in 2007, as you say, so it's 15 years before there's this. I'm sure there's other incidents, but this was horrific, and you cannot discount what happened to that 11-year-old girl. So it's in a no-win position. I understand that people... I understand the people want it open, but you know the coroner had recommendations after this little girl's death, and one of them was to close off their park. And does a grading system work when you have thaw free cycles, and that happen in half an hour in Ottawa? I don't know. It's you got to use your common sense, right?
One person looks at it every day. Like, go in the morning, that's fine. It looks fine, doesn't look fine. How hard is that?
The same way they give you the ratings on the canal, just so you
know it's not like you're sending a trip
or...
Yeah, this is not like you're sending an entire ski patrol team down every single run at a ski resort, for example. It only takes one person to look at it every day. It's going to cost some money, someone's salary, or being added to their responsibility. I that should be explored as a possibility if it hasn't been explored already.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Yeah, as a parent, you tend toward wanting to bubble wrap your kids and just protect them from everything you possibly can. But at the same time, this kind of play, this kind of experience it has an inherent value as well. You can't take everything away from them that has.
What happens
some
in the summer?
Risk,
people
right?
use that hill for exercise all the time. Somebody running up and running down. If a kid ends up getting hurt doing that, are they going to block off that hill in the summer too?
Yeah. This is a tough issue. We'll have more on this as these developments unfold, and we'll tell you more of what Riley Brockington had to say a little bit earlier as well. 927 on News Talk 580 CFRA. If you are running up and down that hill in the summer, you want to be drinking a lot of water, right? We all need to stay hydrated. It's so important. We're told all the time we're not drinking enough water. This is what water does. It's beneficial for your skin, for your organs, for this, that. If you're dehydrated, there's a myriad of possible things that can go wrong. A new study, though, says maybe we don't all actually need those 8 glasses a day, the 2 liters. Maybe that's more than what people actually need. If you are like me and you struggle all the time to get that water in, I always feel bad when I don't bring the water bottle to the side of the bed. It's like, oh my God, I don't have my water bottle. This is terrible. I'm going to be dehydrated in the morning. But when I do have it there beside the bed, I maybe have one sip right before I go to sleep and one sip when I wake up in the morning. I do not drink that whole water bottle down. I know PJ is sitting there behind the glass with his 2 liters all set right beside him. Is that your total intake for the day or is that just for the morning?
No, that's just for my shift. But I also drink like a glass before, and then I drink a glass with like electrolytes in it and vitamin C. And then the 2 liters is just while I'm working till 12, and then, yeah, drink it through.
So you're good. My daughters are so good because that's all they drink. But I drink tea. I drink pop. I drink a lot of pop. I drink more pop. Occasionally beer, occasionally wine.
Yeah, it's just
tough to fit the water in around
all
that.
The beer and the wine is a diuretic, and that's usually the point. That's usually my problem when it comes to water. And I know – it's like I know when I have not had enough water because I feel like, crap, I should have had a lot more water than I did before because I got a headache and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, you do feel the headaches for sure. And you notice it. But, older people say just drink when you're thirsty, and it seems to work okay for them. I mean, they've been doing that for years and years. So I don't know, John Krupe, what do you think?
What is it, like
30, as an older person, what do you think?
Thank you. You remember 30, 35 years ago, coffee was bad for you? And now every time I flip on some medical news, drink coffee. It's good for you. It's good for your heart. And remember, 8 glasses a day. And now I'm seeing all these stories. Drink what you can. Obviously, you want to be hydrated. And drink the, make sure you're hydrated with the proper drinks. What are they called? Those drinks that have those.
Calories?
Yes.
Sugar?
Yeah. Anyway, like Gatorade.
Electrolytes.
Electrolytes. Thank you.
I mean, a lot of people that I know who cycle, no names will be mentioned, swear that beer rehydrates them after they cycle.
Oh, sure.
I don't know if that's true. For me, it's the ice cubes and the Diet Coke.
Beer also, 100% with the carbohydrates and the sodium in it is a good replenishment.
It replenishes.
Oh, a lot of nutritionists recommend it, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Can I have the name and number of that nutritionist?
I'll send you some.
Get a diet plan. I always hope that the ice in the Diet Coke melts in time, that I get a little bit of water when I'm drinking it.
The amount of sugar
in
some of these drinks, though, holy mackerel.
I love sugar.
Yeah.
I love that stuff.
Sugar's bad.
Love the beer, too. 9:30 on News Talk 580 CFRA. You may have been drinking some beer watching Croatia play Canada if you were not over there, but over here. You could have been doing that. We are going to break that down. What went wrong in that game as Canada's knocked out of the World Cup? Gordon Smith, soccer analyst from TSN 1200, will join us right after the break. We have lots on the Christmas market. So beautiful out there at Lansdowne this weekend. People packing that. We have our Music Monday today. Lots more coming up here on News Talk 580 CFRA. Chris Holsky standing by with your news headlines. John Krupe, thank you very much. We'll talk to you in a bit. Go have a glass of water. 9:30 on News Talk 580 CFRA. This is Auto at Work. I'm Patricia Bowl.
This is News Talk 580.